Episode 15, The King's Gospel and Glory.
On the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to many of his disciples, first to the women, then to Peter, and next to two travelers. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. The travelers told how they had hoped Jesus of Nazareth would have been the Messiah to conquer their enemies, but he was crucified, and now the tomb was empty. It made no sense. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people! You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus in the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They jumped up and hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, "The Lord is alive! He is the Savior promised in the scriptures. He is the Lamb pictured in the sacrifices. He is the Lord." At last, the message of the prophets made sense. Perfect sense. It was Sunday evening. The disciples were together with the doors locked. Suddenly Jesus appeared in the room and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Thomas, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, was not there that evening. Later, the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God!" Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Over the next 40 days, the Lord would abruptly appear to his followers, talk with them, and then disappear. Jesus' resurrected body could go through walls and travel at the speed of thought. While he is the first to have such a body, he will not be the last. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Do you understand that you are a helpless sinner with no way to earn the right to live in God's kingdom? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died in your place for your sins and came back to life, defeating death for you? If so, then God says you are no longer in Adam. God sees you as righteous in Christ. One day, you too will receive a transformed body, just like His, but without the nail scars. The dominion Adam had lost to Satan, Jesus had taken back. By His total authority over the devil and demons, wind and waves, sickness and hunger, sin and death, Jesus showed He was in perfect control. Even when the religious leaders and soldiers arrested, tortured, and crucified Him, He had let them do it. That is why, before going back up to His Father's home, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus also told His followers, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." 40 days after His resurrection, Jesus gathered His disciples on the Mount of Olives outside Jerusalem. The disciples wanted to know when He would return. Jesus answered, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem. Meanwhile, up in heaven, it was time for the King to be crowned with glory and honor. Imagine the splendor, the colors, the music, the excitement. 100 million angels talking among themselves. The King is coming home, but He will look different. The One who created man in the image of God will forevermore bear the image of man. A hush settles over the celestial city. Suddenly, the silence is broken with a majestic chorus of trumpets, followed by a booming proclamation. "Open up, ancient gates! Open up, ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter!" Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty! The Lord, invincible in battle! Who is the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty! He is the King of Glory! The gates swing open wide, and to the thunderous applause of heaven, in comes the champion, the Lamb, the battle-scarred Son of Man, Jesus! Through the adoring multitude He walks, up to his father's throne. Turning, he looks out over Adam's ransomed race and sits down. Mission accomplished. Later, heaven's citizens sing this new song to their beloved king. You are worthy, for you were killed and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Then the angels encircle the throne, praising God and saying, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and praise. On earth today, most of Adam's descendants are still captives in Satan's doomed kingdom of sin and death. But freedom is available. By his death, burial, and resurrection, the Lord Jesus won the decisive battle. To all who trust him, he says, Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will also be with me where I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. One of these days, while the world is busy with its trivial pursuits and false religions, the King of Glory will return to earth, but not on a lowly donkey, nor to be mocked and crowned with thorns. The risen King gave John a preview of that future day. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As the king returns, a voice will thunder from heaven. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The king's enemies will melt before him. He will then bind Satan and show a weary world what a righteous government looks like. It will be earth's finest hour. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. On the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus will be the judge. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him. Many millions stood to attend him. Then the court began its session, and the books were opened. Satan and his kingdom of darkness will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. At last, the serpent's head will be forever crushed. As for the citizens of the kingdom of light, God will make for them a new heaven and a new earth. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, or crying. At last, the prayer of all who love their King will be forever realized. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is this your prayer? Have you bowed to the King of Glory? Is He your King?